You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Out on the road like a lowdown Joe, and the bar where we are is so cool, I'd like to stay. Misunderstood like I knew I would be. The one I care for don't mind, she's built that way. I would gladly offer you my love in this hotel in somewhere USA. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates the work of Gordon Lightfoot song by song, a proud member of the FM Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and along with me today is a fellow fan making his first appearance on the show from Perth, Australia, Jean-Paul Degay. Jean-Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Michael, and it's great to speak with you.
Now, you and I tried to do this about a year ago, and because of distance and bad Wi-Fi, we couldn't make any sort of connection. So this episode is long overdue and long in the making. So I'm really glad that we were able to get it together. JP, tell me a little bit about your association with Lightfoot. How did you first get into Gordon's music?
Well, in the early 70s, I had heard songs like I Heard You Talking in Your Sleep and If You Could Read My Mind. And all the time I thought, this is an interesting voice and one which is definitely saying something here. And can I tell you my Gordon Lightfoot story?
Yeah, please.
I left my home city of Perth on Christmas Eve 1974 for a six-month working trip, 1,200 miles north to the totally new and foreign world of mining in an isolated area where my anonymity would be assured. Now, included in my luggage was a record player, of course, and a set of headphones and two LP records, one of which was by this sundown guy. So after being introduced to my new metal box accommodation, and wondering about what I had got myself into, I laid back on my new bed and feeling sorry for myself, put on this Sundown LP. And I got to tell you, after the first line of the first song, I thought to myself, wow, JP, you've chosen really well here. And the voice was so calming and captivating. Moreover, the line Somewhere USA told me he was lost and lonely as I was somewhere Western Australia.
Well, so it really kind of resonated with you, at least this particular song did. And the sundown guy was really at his peak back in those days. So yeah, great story. Thank you. Now, what do you like about Gordon's music generally?
I love the sincerity in the delivery of his lyrics. And that is usually a combination of nice lyrics and the enchanting colors of the chords choices, which Gordon Lightfoot obviously mastered. Notwithstanding his band members' presence and contributions, they are due a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah. He's always taken a lot of pride in his band, whomever was in it at that particular time, because there were a lot of changes. Now, what about live performances? Did you ever get to see Gordon perform?
Michael, I've never had the pleasure. I have not seen Gordon Lightfoot live. However, it was always high on my bucket list, but I have enjoyed the many images evoked by his lyrics over the years.
Yeah, I only got to see him the one time, and I wish I'd spent more time investing, sitting and listening to his music being performed live. Just didn't have the chance as much. Now, you wanted to talk about Somewhere USA, and you talked about being lost and alone. And for you, it was Western Australia. For Gordon, it's him being on the road, away from home. And every musician, I think, probably feels displaced when they're on the road to some extent. I think for me, I love it so much because it's a very simple song and it's an experience that other musicians have talked about, but he's very straightforward about how it felt. He's not romanticizing the road and saying, well, this is the greatest place in the world to go. He's not being Willie Nelson saying, I just can't wait to get on the road again. He's much more like Jackson Browne saying, you forget about the losses, you exaggerate the wins. And it's a very catchy song also. So for you, what would be the best setting to listen to the song? Would it be sitting at home? Would it be on the road in a car? What would be the ideal setting where you could just listen to this song and really have it wash over you?
I have two, in no order of preference. I like to be by myself, listening to Gordon Lightfoot, headphones, car, whichever. And my other preferred way of listening to Gordon is when I have my family in the car and all my kids are singing along.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah,
I can relate to that because my son, when he was very young, when I'd be taking him back and forth from daycare, he'd always want to hear Carefree Highway. So for months, we played that song every time.
They know every word to Sit Down, Young Stranger.
Yeah, that'll do it for you. I think for me, it would be, again, in the car, whether I had my family with me or not. But I would definitely not want to listen to it in a hotel because I think that would just be too cliched and I'd be trying too hard to recreate the experience that he was having. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. Now, the genesis of the song, Nicholas Jennings doesn't mention the song hardly at all in his biography, and I can't find out anything specific about how the song got written. It's clear what the song is about and what got him inspired to write it, but I don't have any specific information about where he was or what hotel he was talking about. Do you have, JP, any angle on how the song got written?
Well, although it hints strongly at him being tempted on the road, I think in order to maintain a non-judgmental appreciation of any song, one should detach the artist from the art, which makes the lyrics totally subjective and open to interpretation.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it quite in those terms before, but the fact that we don't know very much about how the song got written really backs up what you're saying, that Lightfoot didn't disclose that because that was something where he just didn't want to put it out saying, okay, I was inspired by this particular person or this particular situation. So he does a nice job of leaving it to our imagination a little bit. Let's look at the lyrics a little bit for the song. Out on the road like a low-down Joe, and the bar where we are is so cool, I'd like to stay. Okay, so he's on the road. This was written, of course, before Sundown came out. He's touring. We don't really know where the bar is. We don't know what hotel he's in. We don't know exactly where in the USA. He may not even know. And he's not in a luxurious place, like a low-down Joe. This is not the Ritz-Carlton. You know, he's not having tea at Brown's Hotel in London. I mean, this is someplace where it's kind of a middle-class hotel, but it's got a bar. This is not totally luxurious, but it's also not a flea bag place either. Misunderstood like I knew I would be. The one I care for, don't mind. She's built that way. Interesting line here. And I'm wondering, what did he do to be misunderstood? And where is the one he cares for built that way? Does that mean that she knows how men are when they're being shy? Is he commenting on her physical build? There's a whole lot of mystery in this line.
My take on this has always been the one he cares for is back home dealing with the knowledge that he is exposed to temptation and she is strong that way and dealing with it.
So he is aware that she's at home and she's probably not comfortable with this, but he's not dwelling on it. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. And that she's built that way. She's home with the knowledge and she has the strength to carry on.
Okay. And the idea of being misunderstood, does that have to do with, yes, I have to go play this gig and she doesn't understand, why can't you just play a gig at home?
Yeah. Misunderstood the reason for him touring and the overall reason for an artist touring.
The reason that musicians tour, yeah, they may want to, let's go see the sights, but their record companies are telling them, okay, you got to go out on tour because you got to promote whatever record you have so that people are going to buy it. So it's a business decision. This is not him being a tourist. This is him going out, playing shows, and then going to the next town.
That's right. There's always the pressure.
Mm-hmm. I would gladly offer you my love in this hotel in somewhere USA. And we've already talked about he may not even know where he is when he writes this song. And that may be because he's intoxicated. It may be because the towns are coming so fast, he can't keep track of them. But I think it's interesting. He's saying he would offer her his love, whomever it is that he's talking to. But he's not saying, I will offer you my love. So what's the message there?
I don't think, as you said, I don't think he knew where he was in his relationship. That's what I got from that line. I think he was referring to his relationship, and I don't think he knew exactly where he was at the time. He still had things to work out.
Yeah, and this is 1973, I guess, when this song was written, or early 74. So we can trace the chronology of his romantic relationships if we wanted to. But yeah, he really doesn't have a very good idea about where he is. Otherwise, he would have said New York, USA, or Chicago, USA, or someplace like that.
Somewhere USA, yeah.
Somewhere USA, yeah, which I love that title. I think it's great. This rental car never went so far, but with each passing mile, one more dream has turned to clay. So rental car, okay, that is an economic move. A lot of bands in the 70s would do that, fly coach, and they'd get rental cars as opposed to getting limousines or something like that. Dreams turning to clay. Now, clay is something that you build with. It's malleable. You can stretch it. You can extrude it. You can twist it. You can shape it all sorts of ways. But he's saying each dream has turned to clay. Does that mean that the dreams have come true or have they become disappointing? What do you think?
To me, turn to clay is something that has weakened and has died and no longer in use because clay to me is not strong. He's not solid.
So the dream is a little disappointing, maybe?
Yes, definitely. That's what I read from that, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Somebody once said you never should meet your idols because you'll only be disappointed.
The dream has died.
The dream has died, or at least he feels a little bit like he got a lemon out of this, which is a way of saying this is a disappointment. If not dead, at least not everything he hoped it would be.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.